This is Sports Sunday.
913-3810-810 is the phone number. If you think I'm on to something.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Or if you think I'm on something. Either way, love to have you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to the show. Sports Sunday here on 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe. This show's gone really fast today, and there's only half an hour left. And I had this problem on Sports Night on Friday also. I just had too much to talk about and not enough time for it, which is a great problem to have, especially because Cody's on vacation still. I don't know how Sports Night's going to work out. I might be around Sports Night. We'll figure it out. If I host Sports Night Monday night, I'll find out Monday at like noon. So it'll be good. If that does, in fact, come to fruition, it'll be really good that I that I have more material ready to go for that. One thing that I haven't been able to talk about yet, I didn't talk about on Friday, haven't had time to talk about yet today, and I have some severe aggravations with some of the responses to this story. SB Nation's Outsports, they talk, is an entire SB Nation blog devoted to, I don't even know how to put, I get devoted to gay people in sports very often, and like pride events, and like just covering that section of sports, and you don't have to read it if you don't want to. I'm gonna put that out there now, okay? I don't own that site, no affiliation with SB Nation. I don't really care if you read it or not, but I'm sure some of you are upset that blog exists. But there was a story out there a few days ago about former Patriots and Chiefs tackle Ryan O'Callaghan, because he came out as gay on June 20th, and I read the whole thing. And you might only have to read the little, like, blurb, like, the little subhead to realize what's going on here and to realize why this story is so interesting. Because I would talk about a former chief coming out as gay after his career at that point. Like, that's enough of a story to talk about for a little bit. Because I think it's interesting. I think the way that we do or don't talk about gay people in sports is interesting perpetually, because there are definitely more gay guys in football than we know about, because we know about none. So, this story is interesting on its own at that point. The headline, former Patriots and Chiefs tackle Ryan O'Callaghan comes out as gay. That headline on its own is interesting to me. The subhead should be interesting to everyone, period. O'Callaghan had always planned to commit suicide after football until Kansas City Chiefs staffers stepped in. And this whole story, it unpacks all of this. And his plan as a repressed gay man was to get good at football, to do something very stereotypically manly to cover up anyone's guesses at his sexuality. Which in and of itself is kind of sad, because it's this sort of like self-repression, but it goes so much further than even that, because his plan was to play football, to cover it up, and then to kill himself after his career was over, because he would lose that bit of coverage. And there are a couple of blurbs from the story I'm going to read, and then there are a couple of comments on the Facebook post of the story that I'm going to talk about, possibly in length. Here's a quote from O'Callaghan. "I was abusing painkillers, no question," he said matter-of-factly. "It helped with the pain of the injuries, and it helped with the pain of being gay. I just didn't worry about being gay when I took Vicodin. I just didn't worry." He was also spending money recklessly. In the final month of 2011, he said he was spending $400 a day on drugs. He plunked another $70,000 into a building in a small cabin on his property outside of Kansas City, where he intended to eventually end his life. "I started spending all of my money to put myself in a position where it would be impossible, or at least extremely difficult, to back out of killing myself." And he ended up talking to a therapist about the drug addiction problems. And then he came out to her. And then he went to Scott Pioli, former Chiefs GM. At the time of this story, the GM of the Chiefs. And he went into Pioli to tell him, and he was saying that, you know, he had something terrible to tell him. And he was just devastated to be telling him this. And then here's the story picks up. At this point, he, O'Callaghan, was fighting back tears. Pioli's mind raced, wondering if his player had harmed or killed someone. "I'm gay," O'Callaghan said. His private announcement was met with immediate support from the GM. Then, quote, "So what's the problem you wanted to talk to me about?" Pioli asked. O'Callaghan looked at him, bewildered, 27 years of fear, anxiety, and self-loathing, meeting Pioli's stare. "Scott," O'Callaghan said, "I'm gay." Pioli acknowledged that and again asked if O'Callaghan had done something wrong. That's a, like, when I, the first time I read that, I got chills. Because I can't even imagine feeling that kind of pressure to tell someone that about yourself. And your whole life, you've loathed this fact about you. And I imagine in some way, and I reached out to Ryan O'Callaghan to see if he wanted to come on, and I didn't hear back. I'm sure he got a bunch of media requests immediately following the story, so maybe some point later on we get to talk to him. But I imagine that some part of him almost wanted a louder response than that, or at least expected it, because it had been so hard for him to carry it. He finally gives it up to Scott Pioli, and the response is that wasn't even a big deal. Because it wasn't to Scott Pioli. He had plenty of gay people in his life that the story mentioned occasionally. And then after the conversation, this is the little blurb. They shook hands as O'Callaghan was leaving. And they apparently just hugged as a greeting before that, even whenever O'Callaghan walked into the room that day. They shake hands, and the story picks up again. "What's with the handshake?" Pioli asked. "I just told you I'm gay," O'Callaghan replied sheepishly. Pioli was having none of it and grabbed O'Callaghan. "Dude, it's okay," Pioli said. "Just don't grab my butt." That broke the tension. O'Callaghan burst into laughter. The humor was a sign to him that Pioli wasn't going to change. They could get along just as they always had. "Don't worry," O'Callaghan replied. "You're not my type." That whole story made me think of Scott Pioli as an actual human being and not just a control freak who didn't do well with the Chiefs. The Javon Belcher thing had a little bit of that, but even then, Scott Pioli was being the response to the Javon Belcher thing. But even then, Scott Pioli was being very much like the face of like a grieving organization, and that didn't particularly humanize Scott Pioli to me. It made me respect him for the way he handled all of that. But this made him just seem like a human. It's on Outsports. If you Google Ryan O'Callaghan, you're going to find the story. The whole story is really interesting. Except for people who don't read the story. Because Arrowhead Pride, also an SB Nation blog, they posted the story on the Facebook page. And there were a shocking, genuinely, and I guess I'm ignorant, a shocking number of replies to it that just, like, blew me away. One that, within 20 minutes of being posted, had, like, a dozen likes and was at the top of the comment section. Just says, "Who bleeping cares? No one gives a damn what you do in your bedroom, but you continue to tell us until we finally tell you that we don't care, and then you freak out acting like we cared in the first place. Shut up already." And I don't understand that response. I don't understand it. Because the story isn't about Ryan O'Callaghan coming out and then asking to be celebrated by a world that doesn't care. The story is about why it does matter and why you should care, because it gives you insight into what he was living with by the feeling that he was surrounded by people who did care and cared negatively, people who would have hated him for coming out sooner. And there's another Facebook comment that I actually thought was super insightful and super challenging, addressing all of the negative comments that had already been there. It said, "If this story was just about drug addiction and just about plans of suicide, none of you would be saying, 'Who cares?'" I mean, think about that. if this story was exactly the same, but Randall Callahan was straight. It was just a story about him battling drug addiction and planning on killing himself after football. The responses to the story would have been entirely supportive. Entirely. No one would have said, who effing cares? Not one person would have said that. Everyone said, oh man, I'm glad you're not addicted to painkillers anymore. And I'm glad that you found peace in your life and that you're not contemplating killing yourself anymore. No one would say, who effing cares? Also, Vic Crown, this guy with the comment that I've been enjoying so little about who effing cares what you do in the bedroom. No one gives a damn what you do in your bedroom. His Facebook profile picture is a picture of Tyreek Hill. So at least Vic is very consistent. He really doesn't care what you do in your bedroom, apparently. I mean, he doesn't have to comment about it and tell everybody else to stop talking about it. But man, like, he's consistent. He will make his profile picture someone who in his bedroom beat his pregnant fiance, girlfriend. I can't remember. Beat his pregnant girlfriend. That guy is his profile picture. So yeah, I mean, listen, he really, really, really doesn't care what's going on in anyone else's life, apparently. I want to believe also that the majority of people listening right now can at least say, yeah, like, how terrible to feel so terrible about yourself that you're planning on killing yourself when your football career ends, and that you get addicted to painkillers, and that you feel like you can't talk to anyone about who you really are and what you really feel. I would like to believe that the majority of the listening audience can feel that much empathy. Because everybody's got something like that, right? It's like, oh, this is a painful truth. Or this is something that I feel like I can't really talk about. Or you know someone in your life, at least, who's been in that place. Something comparable. I can't imagine being so devoid of empathy that your response to that story is to get on Facebook and to comment about how no one cares or to stop talking about it. When that response is why stories like this still exist. And if you don't care, if you really, truly don't care, keep scrolling. Great, you are so woke that you don't see anything. You don't see color or race or culture or money. Sexuality, you are just the wokest. Everyone around you is a smurf. Everyone's blue. But if you're taking time to comment, to let everyone know how little you care, with your Tyreek Hill profile picture, I'm gonna check out of your opinion. I don't value it. The article's great. The story's really interesting. The response to it made me sad. Now that, Charlie, I think we just set the record for definitely the most serious segment the show's ever done. Like, we've been doing this show for 6 months. 3 hours a week. I don't think I've ever ended a segment in this exact tone of voice, not sarcastically. Go ahead, say something. You look like you want to say something. You're afraid you're not going to touch it? Fine. That's fine. It's just so draining. Like, man, I don't need every single person in my life to be Bernie Sanders. Like, I am so not asking for that. I really don't. I don't need everybody to be about the top 1% of the top 1%. I really don't need that. Like, really, I feel like one Bernie Sanders is probably plenty. I don't need everybody to, whatever, talk about equal rights and climate change all day. I'm super comfortable taking a few hours a day to talk about sports instead of reading my Twitter account about healthcare. Like, I don't need any of that. I'm not asking for any of that. just like an average amount of like human empathy would be great. Like, just that's all I want. Let's just do that. Let's just be empathetic for the guy that lived his life in the closet and then ended up abusing painkillers and had a plan to kill himself. Can we be glad for him that he's not in that place anymore? Is that... You're glad for Tyreek Hill? You mother bleeping bleephole. I wanted Charlie to go to break after I said that, but he wasn't looking. I even pointed at you and everything.
This is Sports Sunday.